Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good afternoon, and to welcome you to Friday's Keep It Real, the Three Apostles. And we're glad that you tune in. We know you're going to be blessed because the message that we have for you was given to us by the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, someone who's listening will be delivered from whatever it is that they're dealing with. Because we are standing on the Word, and we are proclaiming the Word, which is give us victory. And that same Word that gives us victory, it gives you victory. So, I'm looking now, or waiting for Apostle Miller and Apostle McIntyre. I received a call because I was going to do Psalm 51. And it's interesting. Psalm 51 is sort of a segue into our discussion, which is healing. Healing, and prayer. Biblical scriptural healing. And now I know that it works if we want to look at it in those terms, because I have been healed through prayer, spiritually healed, by faith, by complete faith. And while as we're waiting, I am going to find that scripture, and I know it's here. Look at the summary. Well, where is it? I call myself being prepared, and I had it up on the screen. And Psalm 21, it's interesting. And it reads thus, I was trying to, I'm going to check once more. Neither one of them has arrived. So while we're waiting on them, I want to read Psalm 91 to you for your hearing. And I thought that this would be an introduction to discussion tonight, which is dealing with David and his confession. I'm calling it his confession, after he had the relationship with Bathsheba. And I'm just going to read the first four verses, and I want you to sit down and read the whole thing, but this will sort of give you an idea of how compassionate and how loving our Creator is, and how we need to be in the right relationship with him by faith, because none of us have seen him, but by faith, we can walk by faith and not by sight. And we can get the results that David got, his forgiveness. And for us to receive this healing and receive the blessing, the miracles, we need to make sure that we have a clean heart. So, this Psalm 51 reads thus, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Establish that. We are asking God to have mercy, not based on anything that we've done, but on his unfailing love. That's the reason that we can go to him and ask for healing. And it can resound, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgression, wash away all my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. So what is that saying? That we have a responsibility in this whole process, that we confess and ask God to cleanse us in preparation. Preparation for our healing. It says, for I know my transgression and my sin is always before me. Because we know what we've done. And we know why we did it. But we also know that God's unfailing love, and he has compassion. And that will blot out our transgression. And it says, continues, for I know my transgression and my sin is always before me. He's not saying sins. He's talking about a specific sin. According to you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. He's taking responsibility for his action, for what he's done. He's not going that name blame game, playing that game. And then he says, so you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge me. And see, whenever you humble yourself in front of the Creator, in his presence, he is then willing to do, he will respond to your petition. So, I think Apostle McIntyre is here with us now, and she can take it from here regarding prayer and healing. Because we, Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4, was that 1 through 4, 1 through 5 that I just read, it opened ourselves up, and it made our confession to the Creator so that we are ready now for him to do what it is he knows best. Apostle McIntyre?
Well, good evening, Apostle Armstrong and Apostle Miller.
Well, Apostle Miller hasn't arrived quite yet. So you and I, it's just the two of us.
Oh, well, that's always a good thing.
That's right. Absolutely right. Where two or more gather, we have the third person. All right.
She's arrived?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. So we're talking about healing tonight?
Yes, ma'am. You know, that's what a lot of people need, and if people are listening in Ukraine and in Russia, and the people that was the people who relatives, people who died on that boat, on that ferry, relatives, they needed to hear this as well. And I needed to hear this yesterday, so I'm ready.
Praise the Lord. Well, we just greet everybody in the precious, sweet name of Jesus today, and it's always such an honor and a pleasure and a privilege to come on with Apostle Armstrong and Miller. And I tell them like this, we don't come on because we think we know everything. We come on because this is an assignment that the Lord has given us. And so we trust the Holy Spirit for what we'll share with everyone. We don't come in as knowing it all because we're still learning and growing, and we'll be doing that until Jesus comes.
That's right.
But Tuesday, we're in healing school. The Lord had me to minister on hindrances to faith. And we know in Romans 12 and 3, the Bible says all men have been given the measure of faith. All born-again believers have been given the measure of faith. And that measure of faith is the same faith that Jesus used in his earth walk. It's the same faith that he has now. He has given that faith to us. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, it's a gift. And, you know, we don't buy a gift for ourselves. Someone else buys that gift for us. And so God has given us his measure of faith, his spirit of faith. That's why he said the same things he do, we can do also.
Mm-hmm.
But what a lot of believers have to come into a realization that faith is our servant. Faith has been sent here to serve us. It is the way we do business in the kingdom. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. We're saved faith through grace. So faith is, if we could use the word faith, as the currency that we use in the kingdom to receive from the Father. Now, God has done everything in his possible to say. It's a finished work. And we access it by faith. We access it by faith. The Bible also tells us that faith comes by hearing, Romans 10 and 17. And it comes by hearing, not having heard, but a continual hearing of the word. And then your faith must be fed in order to increase or to develop. A lot of believers, our faith is in an emaciated state, because the only thing it eats is the word of God. And a lot of times we're not really in the Bible. We're not studying. We're not stockpiling or putting that word on the inside of us. So our faith is not increasing, nor is it developing. And it has to increase. It has to develop because of the things that the enemy will bring against us. Our faith needs to be activated at all times. And God said, whosoever, in Mark 11, whosoever will say to this mountain. So he said, whosoever, that's any born-again believer, you're welcome to use God's faith. God wants us to use his faith. Faith is a seed. It can be planted or it can be dug up with words. It, you plant it with faith, and then you can go back and you can dig that same word up, dig your faith up with words. If you speak contrary, say for instance, we pray and believe God that by his stripes we're already healed. Well, then from that point on, my prayers need to be ones of thanksgiving and just declaring over and over, by stripes I'm already healed. Get that into my heart. Get that, you know, deep inside of me. So that I believe it. A lot of times I think sometimes we try to speak and get other people to believe. It's not getting other people to believe, it's you believing for yourself. And so when the Lord was telling me, he said, there are many hindrances to faith. I didn't cover a lot of them, but we touched on some. And this was a nugget he gave me, Apostle Armstrong. He said, the Bible must be read to be believed, and trust it to be received. It must be read. And so we have a deficiency there. You would be amazed at how many believers spend very little time in the Word of God. And that's the only way we'll get to know him. That's the only way we get to know who we are. That's the only way we get to know our inheritance, how to possess it, how to maintain it. And so because you know, Hosea 4 and 6 said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And because the knowledge has been presented, we just rejected that knowledge. And like Father Miller and I were saying earlier, people would say, I know it's God's will to heal me. I know I believe God for healing. But their words does not line up with their speech. So we're going to look at a few hindrances tonight. The first one he told me was our lack of understanding of our being a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, we are in Christ. Those of us that are born again, we are in Christ. We are a brand new creation. We have to understand the cross was for the old man. The cross did away with the old man. He said, all things have passed away. Yo, that old man, that old life, that old way you used to do things, just all that has passed away. And behold, all things have become new. But you would be amazed at people that still say, well, you know, you've heard some people get angry and they say, you don't want that old me to come back. Well, that old you, you got to reckon that old you dead. That old you can't come back. Jesus nailed it to the cross, took it into the very pit of the earth, defeated it, and left it there. And when he came out, you came out with him, a brand new creation in Christ Jesus, if you're receiving. So when he says you have become, all things have become new, he means you are a new man, you have a new life, you have a new language, you have a new liberty, and you got a new love. Now, see, a lot of people don't know this because a lot of times when you find people, you know, maybe having some mental challenges and they go to therapists and the first thing they want to do is take you back in your childhood to try to search out what particular event happened to trigger this in you. But we don't have to go back to no particular event in our lives. You go back to when Adam transgressed in the garden. That's when sin entered. That's when it all began. And all that's just a part of sin. But if you will reckon that old man dead, you do not have two natures. We, as a born-again believer, do not have two natures in the, on the inside of us. That old nature was nailed to Calvary's cross. Now we have the nature of Christ Jesus. Now we can think his thoughts. Now we can speak his language. Once again, we can have fellowship with him. And so a lot of people don't know that they are a new creation. All you want to talk, a lot of believers would be saying, well, you know, I know this is happening to me because when I was 20, I did so-and-so. When I was 30, I did so-and-so. Beloved, what you don't understand is Jesus wiped all that out. Our covenant is a new and better covenant based on better promises. Now, in the old covenant, the blood of bulls and bullocks and goats, they would cover you for a year. No matter what you did, you were covered for a year. Now, if the blood of an animal can do that, how much more the precious shed, spotless, sinless blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? He didn't just cover us, he cleansed us. And he washed us from all, from everything. He paid the total penalty. You are a new creation in Christ. You are not that old man. And we got to reckon that old man dead. You got to reckon as an accounting term. That's an accounting term. When you said, I reckon, that's an accounting term. You deal with it. You settle up. So Jesus settled that on the cross. That old man was put to death on the cross. When Jesus got up and when he ascended back into heaven, the throne is for a new man. That's where we are now. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, Colossians 1:21-22 says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, that's the way God sees us. He sees us through the precious shed blood of Jesus. He sees us as holy. He sees us as unblameable. And he sees us as unreprovable. See, Jesus did a total work in our lives. None of that old man is in our nature. Only the residue is in our mind. That's why you have to get into the Word of God, and you have to renew your mind in the Word of God. You find out who you are. Now, when you were doing Psalms 51, and what we have to understand is this is David. This is a Psalm of David. David was not born again. David did not have the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. So he could only pray from like a natural standpoint. But God said he would not remember our transgressions or our sins or anything. You got to understand this, beloved. Wherever you are tonight listening to us, no matter who you were in that old state, no matter what you did, no matter how many times you did it, Jesus entered in, he shed his precious blood, and because of that, you are totally washed, you are totally cleansed from all sin, all evilness, and you got to get that in your mind. A lot of times we go to God and we come in and say, Lord, I want you to forgive me for my sins of commission and any sins of omission, and you know, if Jesus could be puzzled, he'd be puzzled. He'd like, I don't understand. My blood has totally cleansed you. See, it's the mind, Apostle Armstrong. We got to get our mind renewed that we are now a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Nothing I ever did in that old man is a part of my life now. And when it tries to come in my memory, I take the Word of God, and I go to 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I said, I'm in Christ. If you're born again, you positionally, you are in Christ. Now I am a new creature. Old things are passed away, all of it, every bit of it, all of it. There, you cannot even find your old life now because it has been completely washed and put away by the blood of Jesus. And so many believers don't know that. And they think, well, you know, I'm probably going through this because of how I lived one time and the things I did. And you know, I know God's holding that against you. No, God is not holding that against you. He put it on Jesus. Every sin that you or I or anyone that's listening tonight would ever commit, he put it on Jesus. God is not looking at your past. You don't have one. You are now a brand spanking new species of being that has never existed before. You have been brought back up into the state of the first Adam before he fell and the last Adam after he was resurrected. So we've got the best of both worlds. And so a lot of believers do not understand that we are a new creation. You allow the enemy to bring guilt and condemnation on you. And if you don't know who you are in Christ, then the enemy can bombard your mind and torment you and have you under so much guilt and so much condemnation that, you know, you really can't receive from God. Not understanding who you are will keep you from receiving from God. Why would God want to help me? Why would God want it? Because he loves you, beloved. He said Jesus, and Jesus totally washed away all of our sins. And 1 Peter 1:23 said, we've been born again. See, your first birth was where we were messed up. But this second birth, this last birth in Christ Jesus, is not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. He said, now we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're a peculiar people. And a lot of times now, if you tell somebody, say, well, you know, hello, saints of God. Oh, child, don't call me that. I know I'm not perfect. We're perfect in him. We're perfect in our spirit. But what the enemy wants us to do is look at our flesh, look at our thoughts sometimes, look at our actions, our behavior sometimes. But God looks at us through the Lord Jesus Christ. I was sitting here earlier today and when I was just here with the Lord and just reading and studying, and he like showed me, he said, you know, it's like somebody have a bill. You know, somebody owes something. Say, Apostle Armstrong, you owe, let's say you owe the bank $50. And I go to the bank and I pay that $50 for you. And they give me the receipt. Well, the receipt is not for me. The receipt is for you. When Jesus went to the cross, he did not go for himself. He did no sin, had no sin, had never committed any sin. He went representing us. And a lot of us don't know that. He represented us to the max. Everything that we as mankind would ever experience and know, it was put on Jesus. He went to, if I could say it like that, he went to the bank. He paid that bill you owed because we couldn't pay it. We could not pay it. He went and he paid the bill that you owed, and then he brought you back the receipt. The receipt was not for him. The receipt was for you. And so the blood of Jesus that he shed and sprinkled on that mercy seat was not for himself, but it was for us. And I want you to know tonight, beloved, God accepted that payment. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God accepted the full payment of every drop of Jesus' blood being shed, being poured out on that cross, all those stripes that were put upon his back where he didn't even look like a man, that crown of thorns that went into his head and just pierced his head, and that crown of thorns were to take you back in a place where you could not once again have the thoughts of God. So you have to know who you are. You weren't made over. You brand new. Revelations 1, 5, and 6 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Well, who are the kings of the earth? We are. The Bible says we are priests and kings unto our God. Now, we're not God. We're not even saying that. We're not God. But we're made in his image and his likeness. And now the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And it says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He loved us. People have a problem believing that. They don't believe God loves them. They don't believe that God have washed them. But he, the word says right here, Revelation 1, 5 through 6, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. That's what Jesus' blood did. It made us. I can't explain to you how he made us to righteousness any more than I can explain to you how God made Jesus sin for us. The perfection, the perfect one, God encased in flesh. He made him sin. He took on all of our sins. And you need to know tonight, beloved, that God looks at you without any blame. He sees you holy because he looks at you through the precious shed blood of Christ.
Yes.
Then we have a lack of understanding of our place in him and his place in us. In Christ, in him, in whom, is mentioned 134 times in the New Testament. And it tells us who we are and what we have. See, we need to go through the epistles, start at Acts and go through the epistles to the church. And everywhere you see in Christ, everywhere you see in him, everywhere you see in whom, you need to underline that. You need to start decreeing and declaring that because that's who you are in Christ. Colossians 3, 9 through 11 says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. You have put him off. Verse 10 said, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created us, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in us all. So he says it's up to us. God, Jesus, took care of that old man on the cross. Now, what we have to do is put off that mentality, Apostle Armstrong. That's where our wrestle and our struggle is in that mental realm. And put on the new man.
Mm-hmm.
I am new in Christ Jesus. I am hid in Christ. I walk in the newness of life. I have access to God through the blood of Christ Jesus. And when we find out our place in him, we are his beloved. We're sons and daughters. We're kings and priests unto our God. And we have to get an understanding of that. Some people say, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
No, you are not an old sinner. You were a sinner. You got saved by grace. And now you are a born-again new man. And that will make all the difference. You would be amazed at how many people God has, you know, spoken to their hearts and want them to do things and for the kingdom, you know, represent him in certain ways. And they're like, child, you don't know my past. Well, you don't know the blood. You don't know the power of the blood. Look at the Bible. You read the Bible. There's only one perfect one in the Bible, and that's Jesus. Look at all the people Jesus told me. All the people he chose were sinners. Amen. So, you know, when we don't know who we are, when we don't know we're God's child, when we don't know that we're his beloved, when we don't know that everything that he ever did was for us to bring us back into that right state, when we don't know that, then that will keep our faith from working. It says in Galatians 3:26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So you got to put that on, and you do that with the word of God. You got to put on that mindset. You know, you have to get in the word and allow that word to reprogram. All our lives we've been living by sight. What we can see, what we could feel, taste, touch. If we couldn't see it or anything, it wasn't real. But now that we're in the kingdom of God, we walk by faith. We don't have to see it. If God said it, if it's written, then it's true. It says there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. We're the seed of Abraham and heirs to the promise. He told Abraham,
right.
He said, I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. Glory to God. I'm your protection. I'm your provision. That was old covenant. How much more? And he said, if you are Abraham's seed, you know, if you're in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And we're heirs. We're heirs to the promise. We're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. We get taught so much condemnation and guilt, sad to say, from the pulpit. And you mentioned it early. It's not based on anything we've done.
Mm-mm.
Not based on anything that we've done. So we got a lack of understanding of righteousness. Some of us still
believe
we got to earn God's love, earn this. But mm-hmm. Jesus paid it all, and he said that the effectual fervent prayer in James 5:16 of a righteous man availeth much. Now, a righteous man is simply a man that has made Jesus Christ the Lord of his life. You take on that righteous seed, that righteous nature is on the inside of you. And so a lot of times that people try to find a great big swelling definition. I know the Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, and that is true. But I'm going to give you a very simplistic meaning or definition of faith. It's just simply agreeing with God.
That's right.
And so
absolutely
faith is,
right.
Faith is simply agreeing with God, with what's written. If God says I'm his beloved, I say I'm his beloved. If God says
mm-hmm.
by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, then I say
healed.
By the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. If God's word tell me that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, then that's what I say. No weapon.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming in agreement. Understand this, beloved. Satan is not looking for a fight. He knows he's defeated. He's not looking for a fight. He's looking for agreement. He's looking for the same thing God's looking for. He's looking for agreement. It's not going to happen to you just because Jesus paid the price. You're going to have to take that word, and you're going to have to put on that new man. You're going to have to cast down all those thoughts and imaginations and everything that would try to usurp authority over the word of God. You know, a lot of people, well, you know, I guess God don't want to talk to you. There'll never be a time God doesn't want to talk to you. There'll never be a time that God doesn't want to have intimacy with you and share his heart and his vision for his life. And just because you messed up, God didn't change his mind. He didn't change
That's
his plan
right.
for your life. You may have delayed and had to go a little further down the road, but God's word still says that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. He said if we are faithful and just, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, if we will confess them and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, do we not believe that? We've been made the righteousness of God. We are ambassadors in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ bringing us back to himself. There was no other way, Apostle Armstrong, for us to be brought back to Christ. We had to, Jesus had to come. It had to be the spotless, sinless, shed blood. And Jesus had to come and fully identify with us as man to become the substitution. He had to fully identify with us in our fallen state. He couldn't come here and do it as God. If he did it there, then there would be no identity for us to know that we could do the same things he did. He had to come. He had to suffer. He had to bleed. He had to die. He had to be rejected. The same things that happen to us, so that when those things happen to us in our lives, through the precious shed blood of Christ, we can become victorious. We can overcome them. And see, we got to know we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And righteousness does not mean that everything you're going to do is right, because we all blow it. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. But just righteousness is a state. It's a position of being.
That's right. Right.
It's not about works. It's not about you doing this. It's not about how often you go to church. You ain't miss paying your tithes. No, righteousness is a state of being. Jesus got for us. Believe me, it's not you. And God is looking at us through the eyes of Jesus. He loves us just as much as he does Jesus. A lot of people, that cannot be true. There's no way. Well, Isaiah 43:25 says, I, even I, am he that blotted out thy transgressions for mine own sake. And listen to this. He said, I will not remember your sin. That's Isaiah 43:25. He said, I blotted them out. He said, I did it for my sake. I did it for my sake, so when you come to me, I will never deny you. I will never reject you. I will never turn my back on you. He said, I did it for my own sake, because from the beginning of time, when I decided to create you and send you, I did it because I loved you. And he said, I will not. It's not, Jesus don't have amnesia. It's nothing wrong with his mind, nothing wrong with God's mind. He said, I choose not to.
Right.
So that's what we're going to have to do as believers. You're going to have to choose to believe that you are a brand new creation in Christ Jesus, that old person. When people come and say, you remember, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I don't have a clue. Well, you know, you're going to have to pay for what you did. No, Jesus paid for it. I got a receipt right here from Genesis to Revelation. Tell me it's paid in full. Tell me how it was paid. Oh. Tell me when it was paid, what it went through to pay it. And here's my receipt. And so you got to talk to yourself, because the enemy will come and try to tell you that, you know, it's just not true. And it's so much false doctrine and so much condemnation out there, and got people trying to work to be received. The Bible says we're already received. We're already loved by God. And we don't even have an under lack of understanding of our privilege and right to use the name of Jesus. Woo! Mark 16. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name. He's giving you the right to use his name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, John 14 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Listen to 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. See, the name is the authority. I married Deacon Heath and Joyce, and when Joyce and I, when they said their vows, they signed that marriage license, when Joyce changed her name officially from Witherspoon to Heath, everything that belonged to Deacon Heath became Joyce's.
Joyce,
by right,
that's
of
right.
Covenant. By right, because she could go in his money, she could go in the house, she could drive his car, everything because of that covenant. Well, God cut covenant with Jesus on our behalf. And now Jesus said, you have the right to use my name. Use my name against sickness. Use my name against disease. Use my name against weakness and pain. Use my name against financial lack, the spirit of lack trying to come in your finance. Use my name when it comes to your children. I'm giving you the power of attorney to use my name. And when you ask anything in my name that's agreeable to my will, he said, I'll do it. Well, how do I know what's agreeable to his will? How do I know God wants me to heal? Good question. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Matthew 8, 17. 1 Peter 2, 24. Psalms 103, verse 20. That's how you know you have a privilege and a right. And if somebody walks up and says, Mrs. Heath, everybody in the church don't turn around. Joyce does. And see, we got to understand, Apostle Armstrong, that we've got a right to use the name of Jesus. We can cast out devils in that name. We can lay hands on sick in that name. And God, he said right here in his word. And see, we don't stay in the word long enough to get any faith. We don't stay in the word long enough where it can right our thinking. You know, the word is the only thing that will straighten out our squirrely thinking. It's the only thing that can show us who Jesus is. You know what the Bible does? It show us who Jesus is. It tells us what he's done. And it tells us what that means to us.
Yes.
So who Jesus is. Yes. What he's done and what that means to me. We have a lack of understanding about acting on the word.
That's
when something
right.
happens in your life and it seems to be, it goes contrary to what the word says, all that's necessary to ask is, what has God said? See, we say God's word is final authority. But when something goes wrong, we just fall to pieces. The word is the last thing we think about. And this is something the Lord said. He said more people are defeated by the counterattack than anything else. When you make a decision that you're going to, Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. When you make a decision, as say for instance, you believe in God for your healing. You go in the Word. You get those scriptures on healing. There's so many. You begin to put that Word on the inside of you, and it begins to paint a picture. It begins to change your mind. It begins to allow you to see. Because while you're reading the Bible reading you. And you'll begin to see all that I have and who I am. See, the Bible's a mirror. And I'm going to keep looking in here until I see what he sees. Hey, glory. He sees me heal. He sees me feel. He sees me victorious. He sees me one with him. He sees me powerful. He sees me anointed. He sees me living alone. So I'm going to keep looking in this mirror. And I'm going to keep putting this word in me until I see what he sees. Then when I see what he sees, I can begin to act on what I see. James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Believing demands action. If I believe that I'm born again, if I believe that I'm royalty, then I'll start carrying myself like royalty. You know, we tell our children, don't just say anything over your children, you know, because the things you say over your children, well, why don't you quit saying those things over yourself?
Mm.
A lot of us are our own worst enemies. We decree things over ourselves that the word has never said. God says you're forgiven. You asked for forgiveness. Now, when we miss it and we blow it, we need to repent. Yes. That's not what I'm saying, but you need to see yourself like he sees us. Holy, I'm going right back, holy, unblameable, unreprovable, and loved by God. He says, don't be just a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. You know, a lot of people come to church, Apostle Armstrong, and they hear the word over and over, and sometimes you look and you wonder, why is these same people come into the same building, hearing the same word, and one of them is just prospering, and they're full of joy, and they're full of peace, and the other one. But see, it's not up to God what you do with his word. It's up to you. We're going to have to work that word. Believing demands action. If God says I'm healed, then that's what I'm going to start saying about myself and to myself. And a lot of times, those are hindrances to faith when you don't know who you are, when you don't know about your righteousness, when you don't know that you're a new creation, when you don't know your place in him, and a lack of understanding, and I'm going to close this in just a few minutes and give you all an opportunity. There's a lack of understanding when we don't hold fast to our confession of faith.
Oh, that's
Hebrews. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, not just a high priest, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus. You ain't even got to wonder who it is. It's Jesus, Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. And the reason you got to hold fast to it, because you got an adversary that's arrayed against you. You know, a thief cannot steal something from you that you don't have. So the reason he's attacking you is because you got all the fullness of the Godhead bodily on the inside of you. You got all the healing, all the deliverance, all the peace, all the joy, all the finances. But you're going to have to hold fast to it because he's going to come and assault your mind with thoughts. Have God said. Have God said. Our faith keeps pace with our confession.
Mm.
Our faith keeps pace with our confession. I'm not moved by what I see, but by what I believe. Listen to this. To be afraid to act or confess before you have manifestation is to doubt God's word. I'm not going to say I'm healed and I still got pain in my body. You doubt God's word. I'm not going to say I'm blessed and everything is going contrary. Well, you're doubting God's word. The Bible tells me that God is not a man that he should lie. If he says he'll do it, if he's spoken, he'll bring it to pass. So your confession must line up with what he's saying. The absolute lordship of Jesus. He's Lord of all things. He's Lord. You cast all your care on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. And you know what a shepherd does for the sheep? A shepherd leads the sheep. He leads them to by still water. He finds food. He chases away the enemy. Glory to God. And so we have a much better shepherd than that. And Isaiah 53:3-5 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. See, they thought Jesus was dying, thought God was crucifying Jesus because he identified himself as the Son of God, and he called God Father. No, that just didn't work for them. It says, surely he have borne whose grief? Our grief, our pain, carried our sorrows, our sickness. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. It didn't say we're going to be. It's a possibility. See, watch out for that counterattack. When you say, I believe I'm healed, that pain will probably try to increase. The doctor's diagnosis might get worse, but you have to fight with the word of God. That's our sword. That's our weapon. We praise and we do the word. You do the word and you praise. You praise and you do the word. You do the word and you praise. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You are not enjoying the reality of the truth of God's word because your confession has you bound. It ain't the devil that's got you bound. He defeated. There's no authority over you. He's not your Lord. Proverbs 6:2. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Snared means to be caught in a trap. Taken means to be held hostage. Do you know how many believers are held hostage by that little thing under their nose? That mouth and that tongue? Because they say opposite. I'm telling you, you are in prison. Mm-hmm. If nobody else has mm-hmm. you in prison, you have your own self in prison.
Yeah, right.
You're held captive. You're caught in a snare because of the words of your mouth. God says by his stripes we're healed. So regardless of where you are, regardless of what you're experiencing today, God said he will never leave nor forsake you. He will be with you always. He said, fear not. For I am your God. Be not dismayed. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. So God is looking for agreement. He's looking for agreement from us so that he can do the work, finish the work that he began in us. By his stripes, we are healed. Remember, you're not enjoying the reality of the truth of God's word because your confession, not God, not the devil, not your pastor, not your neighbor, your confession has you back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Lord gave me.
That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Good word. That's already.
It's already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's already.
It's documented.
It's in the now.
It's documented.
Yeah, and it's now, not tomorrow.
Yeah.
Y'all, not yesterday.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, N-O-W.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, yes, yes. And you know when you begin to rub the face? Yeah, it's
no,
now. It makes you look foolish.
No, it's now.
I know God going to.
No.
It's not.
That's why he said now faith.
Now
it's not in that mm-hmm. time back. But that's what religion
yes.
tradition teach people. You know,
yes.
I'm waiting on God. You know, God gonna do this. No, faith that he done already did, and God gave us faith to come in agreement and activate and receive what he done already did.
Yes.
Now, the key word you just said, activate. When you get a bank card, what does it tell you to do? Your bank card is no good. It's good for nothing until you go and activate it. You got to do something. You pick up the phone, you call, or you go to the branch, and you insert your card in, and then it's activated. You can use it.
That's my money. Apostle Armstrong, that's my money in there.
No.
What you talking about? That's my money in there.
It may be your money, but you can't get it until you activate that card.
Same with the Word of
like
God.
That's right. Absolutely right.
Same with the Word of God. And you know, when we get born again, and we receive faith, that activates our inheritance. That's why we have to apply our faith. Born again connect us with faith, and what it does, it activates. It brings about the reality. And see, that's why in Ephesians, the first chapter, in the 15th verse, Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to pray for the people, spiritualize and understand to come on that they would know.
Yeah.
That they would know and that they would be able to see spiritually what have taken place for them through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Beautiful. I got to get all them scriptures. You were calling them, but I wasn't able to get them all jot down, Gwen. So I
I got your copy.
All right. And the other thing is, we say in Jesus' name, and we don't know a bit more of what we are saying than a man in the moon, as the old people used to say.
No, we don't.
In Jesus' name, we haven't read.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought it out. You need, what does the word say? The word gives us the foundation for you. If you are seeking healing, Jesus says, by his stripes we are healed. That's the authority. That's where you get the authority from, to use his name for healing. Not that you just pull out, not what your grandmama said. I heard them say it in church. They say they're praying and they say, in Jesus' name, you are healed. You went over to read the word. You got to get into the word and read it for yourself.
Got to do it.
Well, then too, when you find out everything Jesus did on the earth, why he was on the earth, when we speak his name with faith, knowledge, and understanding about him, who he was and what his word did, it carries the same authority and the same power when we let it come out of our mouth.
It does.
That's powerful. That's why the Bible said we can boldly say he's out here because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't change. But then we get that knowledge and understanding of, when I say in Jesus' name, the enemy, when I say it with the knowledge, the understanding, with confidence, the enemy see me like he see Jesus.
That's it.
But see, most people don't understand that. I know I didn't for a long time. All I said is in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And then I'm sitting there waiting for something to happen. And then nothing happened. What happened?
No,
I did something wrong. I said in Jesus' name.
But it goes to show a lot of time with me. My faith was in what I see and what I feel and what I hear. But when I got born again, I had to find out, I had to put my faith in not nobody else's experience, but in what God's word say. And that is what I see and what I feel. And that's what a lot of people get tripped up on. Their faith is in what they see in the natural, what they feel, and what they hear.
That's right.
You cannot operate in the kingdom like that. So that's why we got faith.
That's right. Thank God it's a gift. Every born again believer have that gift from God. We have that measure of faith, and it's more than enough. It's more.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just enough. It's more. More than enough.
Yes.
And that faith that caused us to connect not only with God, but everything that we was inherited,
yes,
was passed down from Jesus.
Yes.
We can receive,
uh-huh,
that. That's what our faith does. It caused us to overcome. It caused us to,
yes,
endure. It caused us to conquer. It caused us to forgive. It caused us to love.
Mm-hmm.
You name it, it does it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. We just got to get in agreement with it.
Amen.
Yes.
This was good.
Well,
this was
good.
Okay with you, Apostle, wasn't it?
It was a good word. And the hearers,
yes, sir,
we know that someone was delivered. We know that someone,
yes, sir,
gained an in-depth understanding of what it means to pray in Jesus' name. And
amen.
If they were just listening. Because I know, like, mm-hmm, I said, for years, my thing was, I heard my grandma, I heard them say it in church, in Jesus' name. But I didn't bit
mm-hmm
more know what I was saying, as they used to say, a man in the moon. But once you
mm-hmm
come into an understanding, then you know what it is you're saying, and you will, the action.
Yeah.
Take place.
Action. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And what happens so many times for us, like I was telling somebody earlier, we are people that react. We really wait till something happens, and then we start crying and complaining, as opposed,
yeah,
to we know something is coming down. Why can't we be,
yeah,
proactive? As,
mm-hmm,
as Apostle Miller said, the already is here.
That's right.
We
that's
just
right
need to reach out for it. Instead,
yeah,
of waiting and then, well, I don't know why God let this happen to me. Oh, crying.
But you know, so,
and they,
Apostle, my thing was, when God began to reveal to me numbers of years ago about the already, I did not know how to respond to the already. And the
mm-hmm
Holy Spirit had
mm-hmm
to teach me how to respond to the already, how to operate in the already. That was a struggle for me. You know,
yeah,
if it's already done, how can I receive it? Why I don't see the manifestation? Well, the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm
has to teach me how to respond and receive the already.
Mm-hmm.
And he started first by revealing to me what was the already. What we come out here,
mm-hmm,
he done already did. So I had to get the
mm-hmm
knowledge, and then he brought the understanding. So it began, okay, but I couldn't of understanding,
yeah,
with the natural. I had to see it from the spirit perspective.
Right.
Because,
right,
because
yes,
when you see, we got a new spirit, y'all. We didn't get a new color,
oh, yeah,
skin. We didn't get a new body. We got a
that's
new
right
spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I see our time is really up. But so
yeah,
I think
too.
next week we can pick up where we left off here. Because,
oh, that'll be good.
We can talk a little bit more about what it is in Jesus' name, what it is that Jesus did, so that it becomes
now,
clear
be
in the mind of people, and they won't,
yeah,
have to go through what we went through.
That's right.
Amen. That'll be good.
All right. Next Friday, yeah. So who wants to pray us out?
It's on Apostle Gwen, it's on you. You go for it. Go for it.
Oh, Father God, thank you so much for this night, Lord. Thank you for the precious Holy Spirit opening up our eyes and our hearts to receive the
mm-hmm
truth of your word. Father, we pray for everyone that was listening tonight. I pray that they have been challenged, Lord God, that they have been built up and encouraged to know who they are in Christ Jesus, and they have a right to
mm-hmm
faith. They have a right to use his name. They are the righteousness of God. It's not by anything they've done, but by everything he's done.
We just pray the very peace of God, that God will turn every situation for his glory. We speak the grace, the mercy, and the blessing of God over you. The blood of Jesus is against the enemy in any way that he's trying to do anything in your life. God, we are so grateful tonight that everything you did as us, you did it for us. And by faith, we receive it. And tonight, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Tonight,
yes,
you love
are.
Us just as much as you love Jesus. And we speak peace.
Mm-hmm.
Even to those families, Lord, that lost those members in that sub. Lord, we know they're hurting tonight.
Yes.
There are so many
yes.
questions that answer. The Holy Spirit, you are the comforter. Would you just comfort them tonight? Lord God, all those who love them, all those. Lord, only you know what happened. But, Father God, I just pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And I just speak the shalom of God, just the shalom of God. Feel your home, feel your business, feel your car, wherever you are right now, just the shalom of God, whatever country you're in, no matter what's happening, let God, let his shalom feel where you are right now in the precious name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for it all. We thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes. Amen. All right.
Shalom. Shalom.